Welcome to the NEDCO 504 Show. I'm Scott Sailors with Jason Culver and Will Sailors. Let's get started. Welcome to Amy Ebica of Ebica Design Company. She can be reached at ebicadesign.com. The subject of today's show is website management. Amy is an expert in website management, website development, related print materials, photography, branding identity, video production, and importantly, management of social media. Our knowledge of Amy Ebica here in Ebica Design, that's E-B-B-E-K-A, E-B-B-E-K-A design.com, is everything you see at the NEDCO, NED, NEDCO website has been produced by Ebica Design and specifically by Amy Ebica. Amy manages all of our social media. She does our website. She produces all of the e-letters produced by the Nebraska Business Development Center and by NEDCO that are sent out through Constant Contact. And Amy has been our in charge of our web design and our web management for close to 10 years now. So welcome to the show, Amy Ebica.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. This is great.
Amy, Jason and Will, you know, from being on the staff here, have a number of questions. I'll start off with a question that I think our listeners would really like to know. Is during this period of pandemic and COVID-19, some businesses have suffered greatly, lodging industry for one. Other businesses have flourished. We had Andrew Dewey on the show today, and Andrew was telling us that he's really had quite a bit of business from the work at home, off-site working activity that resulted from the COVID. So we were wondering, what impact did COVID-19 have, if any, on Ebica Design?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I actually think we were very fortunate when it came to the effects of COVID. Our business was already mostly digital, so as far as us working together, we were very ready to communicate through email and Zoom and other tools like that that uh-huh. might have been new to other companies. So our internal communications, I felt like, were pretty solid. The thing I've noticed the most is that we had a lot of customers, both existing and new customers, who began to rely more on their website. And luckily, some of our customers had already had plans for e-commerce in the works. Once COVID came along, those plans became a front burner project versus something that they were just trying to get to eventually. So the COVID crisis, definitely at the beginning of it, especially starting in March, April of last year, was a very intense and busy time for us. We really had to step up. I spent many nights and weekends working constantly, and I worked so many hours that I literally like developed a little back problem just from sitting too much, because our work actually does take place a lot at a desk. So I literally hurt myself working too many long hours, and it wasn't healthy for me. But when the time came to help our customers be prepared for doing business online, it was definitely something we wanted to step up to the challenge and help them as much as we possibly could,
sure.
regardless of our own personal health and wellness. So
sure.
It was a tough time, but I liked being the hero, I could tell you that. I mean, I definitely
yes.
enjoyed helping them succeed. And if they can't control the COVID situation, at least I knew they could control things on their website and in their own business. So it was
sure.
nice to kind of add a little comfort and predictability to a very uncertain time.
Sure. Now, Amy, before we go to Will and Jason, they have a number of questions. I wanted to make this observation. For our listeners that are looking, if you don't have a website, obviously you need one. And we'll get into that later. If you don't have a footprint on the World Wide Web, you know, you've got some issues that are probably bigger than we can deal with on the show, but you need to have that. But as far as size of design companies like Ebica, for the listeners, what you have, what we've seen, Amy's been here, been doing this for 10 years, and she's directly related, directly involved in the podcast as well, is that you have three levels of companies. You have people that work out of their house that are kind of do it as a hobby, but not really as a business. And that comes with its own set of problems and complications. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have really large companies that are extremely expensive, and they are not really personal service oriented like Ebica Design. Then you get a company like Ebica that is willing to work with small to medium size, large companies like ours, medium large, that's willing to work in that middle sector. So for the listeners, I would suggest you look at something like Ebica Design, not just because they're doing our work, but if you go to the other end of the spectrum, you're going to be shocked at the price. And you go to the other end of the spectrum with someone working out of their house, you're going to be shocked at the level of knowledge and the lack of ability to produce. So if you're a medium to small company, you're right there in the sweet spot is a company the size of Ebica. So go ahead, Will.
Hi, Amy. Will here. Hello. How did Ebica Design start? How did you get this thing rolling? Did you have a day job and you were starting Ebica Design on the side, or how exactly? What's the background with the company?
Well, it's an interesting story. I'm glad you asked. So we started the business 20 years ago, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
I worked at a large advertising agency here in town. My husband worked at a medium-sized design shop in town as well. So we both had a design background. And one thing we noticed, even working at the big ad agency and then also working at a smaller shop, is we felt like there was a disconnect between communication between the artist or graphic designer and the client. And so when we got married, he decided to leave his job. He was kind of feeling like he could do things a little differently, and it was a good move for him. So once we got married, then we kind of had that insurance thing covered, which I think is always the hardest part of starting your own business, is who's going to carry the health insurance. So I carried that for the year while he built the business. And he had a lot of clients that were really happy with his work that had followed him through his career. So it was pretty easy for him to start off the company with enough clients in his back pocket to be able to keep himself busy. And also, the great thing about being in graphic design and marketing is there's not a lot of equipment and overhead involved. Some of the businesses that you fund obviously need a lot of businesses and land, and the beauty of our career is that you really can just have a Macintosh computer and an internet connection and buy some software licenses, and you're good to go. So going way back, he actually started the company. A year after that, he started getting busy enough, and there were a lot of changes back at my agency in 2001. You can imagine a lot was going on after September 11th. And for sure. So with those changes going on within our organization, I decided to join him and just go all in on this deal, for better or for worse. And, you know, we didn't really know what we were getting into. And like a lot of entrepreneurs, you learned a lot of things the hard way. But it was a great experience for us overall, seeing improvements on our bottom line. Years of, you know, every year we have growth, so you can't ask for more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the point to where you knew that you could come on board? What was the thing that pushed you to leave your day job so both of you guys were working at Ebica Design? Was there any specific thing that pushed you forward to do that?
Yeah, it's not really a positive thing. The agency I was working with was heavily focused towards the aviation industry. After 9/11, aviation industry was definitely one that was very hard hit by the economy of things going on after 9/11. People weren't flying. It was a completely chaotic time, and they were actually doing waves of layoffs think they laid off like 7 or 8 people 1 week, and you know, they just gave them the boxes and said, "Hey, it's been nice knowing you." And those people were great people. I mean, they weren't low performers or, you know, bad employees or anything. They were just decided for whatever reason they were not necessary anymore. Well, that made me awfully nervous, and I think it made a lot of people nervous, frankly, because there was a very the climate changed a little bit internally, and I did not want to be one of those people. I just, you know, I just wanted to take control of my future and not have my future determined by others. So even though we weren't guaranteed a paycheck, I thought it was better. I don't know, looking back on it, it seems kind of crazy, but I just thought that the uncertainty was better when it was in my control versus someone else's, and that's what pushed me to leave the business. Now, obviously, the agency recovered and became extremely successful after I left, but, you know, I think I made a good move.
Definitely, kind of finding the silver lining there in a bad opportunity. I know we've heard that despite COVID, there are actually record businesses being started up, kind of people finding themselves in similar situations.
Well, I would agree. And honestly, the misfortune of that people had after 9/11, which isn't so dissimilar to what we're going through now, is a lot of the people that used to use the big expensive agencies had to take a step back and maybe change the way they did business and who they did business with to save money. And in that case, our little shop full of experienced people like ourselves was a great choice for those people to save. Maybe we don't need to spend so much on our marketing firm. Maybe we could do a little bit in-house and we could hire out the rest, or, you know, whatever. So we were incredibly successful during that time. So we saw a lot of growth. So it was definitely a good choice for us.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Amy, I'm curious, you know, with your background, with Bob's background, obviously you knew advertising, marketing, branding, all of that. But now you're not just focused on that aspect of running the business, but the actual business itself. So, you know, you guys, you're at the top, you're making the decisions on where to guide your business. Now that you've got, you know, years of experience under your belt, what do you wish you could go back and tell yourself back then, that you know now, that would have helped you immensely?
I think that the hardest thing that I've learned, and I wish I could have told myself this, is that no matter how laid back and cool and chill you are, you're still the boss, and people are going to, they're not going to be your friends. Like one of my favorite people, a person I follow a lot in the industry, says, you know, the most expensive friends your money can buy. So I think I wish I would have gone back and said,
isn't that,
you know,
the truth?
You know, you're not going to find your best friend by hiring them. There's always going to be that divide between the owners and the employees. And it's unfortunate because we've met a lot of great people along the way, but ultimately when you're making decisions about how much money they make and what they do at work, you know, you just can't be friends. And that just stinks, I think. But yep.
There's a fine line there, isn't there? There's truly a fine line there. Yes.
So Amy, when people in your industry, you might not even need to have a college degree. What is your educational background? Did you get a degree in college for this? Because you obviously know what you're doing. Was this self-taught, or did you have experience in it through education?
I would definitely say that it was a combination. I went to school at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and received my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. So in studying art and design, with an emphasis in graphic design and illustration, I learned a lot about composition and design layout, how to convey messaging through the use of visuals. The thing I didn't really pick up on is so much the language, the copywriting, and things like that. At my subsequent jobs, at my first two jobs, I learned a great deal on the job related to how our work in the art and design side of things fits in with the writing and the marketing. So I've always been a student of advertising, I guess, so to speak, one of those people who always noticed the new campaign for the latest brand. And even when I was a kid, you know, huge fan of advertising in general. So it wasn't new to me, but really it was a combination of that great education I received at the university, plus a lot of great people I worked with when I was first getting started.
So graphic design would be the college degree that most people in this industry might have if they're not self-taught, if they've had education. Graphic design is that degree to get.
You know, you can come at it from a lot of different ways. There's definitely some people that come in through, like, the journalism, advertising, and PR door. We receive applications from people in that, coming from that direction. In addition to that, the designers would definitely want to work with us. A group like ours would be a great place for them to work. Trying to think of some other doors that people are coming in. Honestly, I think the position of graphic designer just alone as just as your title isn't enough anymore, because there's so many other things. Like, you would have to be like a graphic designer that can also do websites, or, you know, you have to be really well versed in a lot of different parts of the business. So there's not really one. If you're like in advertising and you could do graphic design, that'd be great.
Okay.
That would be great to write on your resume, or if you could write copy and do graphic design. So there's just not a lot of just straight graphic designers anymore.
So what do you specifically enjoy doing the most at Epica Design? Is it on the graphic side, or what is your favorite aspect of your current job?
I think gabbing with clients is my favorite thing.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, hit that one.
Yeah, and as Scott will attest to, sometimes you just like talking to business owners and finding out what's new with them and what challenges that they are having and how we can help and mm-hmm. if there's anything we can do for them. And you just get a little bit more of a personal touch with an agency of our size that you might not get elsewhere. You know, I have some clients that are just literally pick up the phone and they send an email and they don't like to chit chat, and that's fine too. We have a wide array of client personalities that I can roll with, so it's not a big deal. But that's probably my favorite thing, is just to kind of feel like we're in a partnership together, not just we're a vendor that you call when you need something.
Mm-hmm. Amy, question: as far as your geographical area of activity, obviously you're well known in Lincoln and well known in Omaha and probably throughout Nebraska. And if people would look at our website, they look at the Small Business Answer Show, they look at NEDCO, people know NEDCO, it's a brand. Do you guys do websites and website developments nationwide?
We do a little bit, but it's always with that route coming out of the Nebraska area, people that we know. If we have a client that's in Florida, it's because so-and-so client here had a brother-in-law that needed help, so they passed us on to them. So there's always kind of that link into the areas that we serve. We do a lot of work in the Pacific Northwest.
Really?
My brother lives up there, so occasionally you might drop my name to a couple people, and then that person will give it to another person. And so next thing you know, you have a little handful of Seattle clients. So it's kind of neat the way that things like that work. We work with a dentist in North Platte that does really well, and that one was through one of my clients that runs a nonprofit here. It was his sister-in-law. So, you know, we're getting a little bit of work out western Nebraska. And but it's always someone's related to somebody. And in Nebraska, that's just kind of how business goes. You ask your friends, who do you trust? And they'll tell you, and that's kind of how things grow.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Well, now I'm curious, because that sounds like a lot of word-of-mouth advertising. How does your business that helps NEDCO with our marketing and advertising, what do you look for? What's your target method for building your own brand?
I'm ashamed to say that someone in advertising doesn't actually use any of the traditional methods of advertising. We have not had great luck with spending money in the newspaper or spending money on Google AdWords or things like that are just normally surefire ways to get more business. But apparently, you know, for us in our industry, it does not does not pay back to do that kind of paid advertising. And even our social media, like our Facebook and our Twitter, is sorely ignored, mostly on my behalf, because I never check it. But, you know, we try to keep the Facebook lively with a little bit of staff activity here and there, you know, something goofy happening on Thanksgiving Day, or, you know, just, I don't know, just kind of like mostly seasonal related. But, yeah, I kind of don't really have to try that hard, because after 20 years, you just keep doing a good job, and one person tells another, and you just don't have to work quite so hard for it. Knock on wood, I hope I don't have to go into a sales role, because I really am not an excellent cold caller or salesperson. I just like helping people, so it really, I don't know, it feels kind of goofy if I just call people and try to sell them on something, quote unquote, mm-hmm. sales. So mm-hmm. that's me.
So what has been the most challenging part of being an entrepreneur like yourself and running your own business? What is the most challenging aspect? Is it the business side of things with keeping the books and numbers, or is it actually doing some of the work that's challenging? What are some challenges that you face?
No, you know, I think doing the work and running the business is the easy part. I think talent and employee management has been the biggest challenge of everything. In our business, it's really interesting. So you can go and get a degree like we talked about earlier, but there's really a broad spectrum of talent that comes out of all the universities or even community college programs, which are wonderful as well. But normally what we'll do is review a portfolio and resume, and you'll have references and everything. But even that doesn't tell the whole story. So sometimes you don't really know till you get someone in here that maybe they're pretty rusty on their computer programs, like they might not know as much as you thought they would, or they did great portfolio work, but just so happened to be when they were in school, they had 6 months to create that work, whereas here you have 6 hours. So, you know, there's a huge disparity between the representation of the talent based on their portfolio and what actually happens when you get into this job to grind, you know, just like any other job, 40 hours a week. Can you keep it up? And so, you know, some winners, some losers in that game. I just think that there's a bit of a challenge to know. And that's been the hardest part, I think.
So usually throughout the hiring process, somebody would bring in or provide you a link to some of the past work that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but the key to that would be you don't know how long that took them and if they were able to do it under a little bit of time pressure.
Or if they did it alone. I mean, even some of the university settings are in a group role, or if you're working on a team like we have here at our company, really there's no one person that does something all alone. You may have had help from the person next to you, or, you know, this other person did the writing and you did the copy, or you did the design. So, you know, there's a bit of teamwork involved, so it's hard to know how much that individual played a part in that team.
Amy, I'm curious, how would you describe your business? Are you a marketing company, an advertising? Are you, I know you got design in the name, so that's an easy one.
Right.
You know, are you doing branding, or is it just kind of, you're trying to be a one-stop shop for the Nedcos of the world that, hey, we don't know what we're doing, so when we have a problem, we come to you and you help fix it for us.
I would say we're probably less marketing but more advertising and design. So we can do marketing materials, which is a bit of a different topic. Your brochures, your website, your advertising, whether it be print or digital. We can do your logos and all your stationery. We can handle all that for you from soup to nuts. But when it comes to quote-unquote marketing, those are usually handled by people who really love data. And marketers are different than advertisers. They're just, in a way, a lot more entrenched in the psychographics of the different markets that people are trying to reach. And there's a lot more data than I enjoy doing. it's definitely not my bag. And I kind of go off of a gut feeling and my clients' gut feelings too. So, well, I do enjoy diving into a great research branding document and kind of getting extrapolating what I need out of it as far as us going out and doing the research and focus groups and things like that. It's not something that we currently do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amy, question. Website development, let's just say give or take 10 years ago, I don't remember exactly how we ran across you, but we did. And you and I had several conversations on the phone. So let's just say for somebody that wants to come in and get started, here's how we got started. You and I talked, we exchanged ideas, and then of all the people we contacted, you were the most receptive and the one who put together actually a hard copy presentation for the board of directors here. And I remember the day you came in, you had an easel, you had different types of prepared paper and hard copy stock of different ideas, different concepts, different colors, and the like. Is that typically how that works? With somebody calls you up and says, "Hey, I want to start selling widgets over the internet," and then is it up to you to do it, start from scratch like you did it here? Is that typically how that occurs? Because that was a lot of work you did.
Somewhat. I think in your case, it was the digital limitations of the board of directors, not to mention the meetings that they had were on a specific day. So I think in that case, the hard copy presentation was definitely the best way for all of us to have a win, you and our team. Obviously, you want to bring in a talented person that can handle their challenges as well. So, you know, we really will try to roll with whatever style people like. I try to be flexible when it comes to presentations. A lot of times with our business, we'll get called in for a request for proposals from different organizations. And I typically bomb those completely my public speaking is getting better, much better than it was 10 years ago, but I still don't enjoy standing up in front of a room of people presenting as much as I like sitting around a table with others solving problems. So there's a little bit of, I don't know, I'll jump through any hoop that is put in front of me to get the work if I feel like we're a good fit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's sometimes that I just have to chalk it up to a loss because we're not what the people are looking for. And I don't take it to heart. There's, mm-hmm. You know, you win some and you lose some. And if people don't appreciate our style of informality, I guess, then maybe we're not the right place for them.
And you may not want them.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some people who want to be wowed by the big guys that come in and give their idea and say this is what we've created for you. But what I like to think of it is here's what we've created with you. Ah, so there's a big difference there. Just that one little word.
So when clients are contacting you, would you say some of them obviously need started from the ground up, and then some need, they have an existing website. So if somebody had an existing website, you would come in and be able to rehab that and get it brought up to date and looking a lot better?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I've noticed recently is that we're not so much, you know, we're kind of having to start over from scratch with a lot of these sites, because the old methods of building websites was very much design related. What the most important things were, what color are you going to use, what fonts. Now actually the focus is on usability, so you're going to be looking more at how is the user viewing this web page and how are they making the sales decision as they go through the process. What questions might they have about working with you, and how can you present yourself in a manner that's going to encourage that individual to reach out and contact you for your service or product. So, you know, old websites, just like a brochure, like an online brochure, was adequate. You know, you get your home, about us, Even the Nedco website, one of the most popular tabs on there is the loan calculator.
Yes.
You know, what do people want? What do they need? They want to know how much their loan's going to be. So that's a tool for them. And that's where I feel websites are heading, is less about the design and more about the usability.
I want to just take a quick second here and say, if you want to say hello to Amy or talk to her about any of the subjects we've talked about here, it's 402-441-4649. That's 402-441-4649 to say hello to Amy. Or it's info@ebbeka, that's ebbekadesign.com. Jason.
Yeah, one of the things I'm curious about, I'd say a fair number of the business applicants I get when they're first starting out, and we ask them, you know, what's your advertising strategy? What are you planning on doing? And more often than not, that plan is to use social media because it's something that they can do themselves. It's easily accessible. And so what I'm curious is, you know, as we're seeing more businesses have a social media presence, are businesses picking one platform over another, or is it something where you can, if you're on one, you can easily duplicate it without much cost to get it on multiple platforms?
I think that it really depends on the business. If it's retail, business to consumer, your Facebook is probably adequate. I haven't locally found much use in Twitter for most, probably 99.9% of the companies we service.
Really?
Aren't finding customers on Twitter. And then I think LinkedIn has really become an important way for us to connect with our peers and other businesses that we may be interested in working with in the future. So a lot of B2B activity is done on LinkedIn. So I don't feel like you can duplicate your content on all three platforms that are important. Obviously, the newer ones like TikTok and Snapchat and things like that, we just don't deal with that youth market at this time. But I always keep an eye on what's coming up next so that when we do get a request for that, I'm clued in on that. And some of the people here that work in the office are always great sounding board to say, you know, hey, I'm not really a Snapchat person myself, but maybe you could tell me a little bit about how it works. You know, this is a conversation I had years ago with some of the staff, like, tell me about this Snapchat thing. How do people sell on there? And they're like, well, we don't really sell. No one really sells anything on Snapchat. So, you know, I try to stay abreast of any of the new forms of social media that are coming out every day. But at this time, the majority of our clients are using those big three. Now, if you are in a particularly visual type of business, for example, one of our customers designs and manufactures their own hand-painted wall coverings, and it's beautiful. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. It's like a piece of art you hang on your wall as wallpaper. And Instagram has been a great tool for them. So I definitely have several clients who are on Instagram. We have another client who's getting picked up by different influencers. That, you know, if an influencer picks up their product on Instagram and shares it with their following, their web page will explode that day. We try to make sure it doesn't get overheated, but definitely. They can send a lot of visitors and sales your way if an influencer picks up your product that day and decides to showcase that on their page, so on their Instagram page. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of moving and shaking going on in the social media realm. I just try to hang on and stay one step ahead of the game as much as I can.
Okay, what if we got Scott on TikTok? Do you think is that something we should do?
There we go.
I think that'd be gold, and I think that, I mean, everybody would be viral. I mean, definitely, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it might blow up.
Yeah.
Hey, Amy, let me ask you this. What is the wackiest, craziest idea anybody's ever presented to you for a website?
Oh, no, they're all sad. I don't know if I want to share them.
Oh. We've had.
I would feel guilty. Okay. I've had a few things where I'm like, oh dear.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Well, we have a segment on the show that we run occasionally called Crazy Credits. And the guys talk about some of the wackiest loan applications they've ever received in here. One of the most listened to shows was, you know, was Rock the Cat Bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, you know, they want, you know, they have cats in there selling their drinks. But I was wondering, I mean, I'm sure you've had people approach you with inappropriate content. And that was usually screened out.
Less than you'd think. We haven't had that experience in the past. Lucky for us. Probably the most. The one that breaks your heart the most is usually inventors. Man, they get taken for a ride a lot of times. I've had some that have second mortgage out on their home to pay for prototypes for ideas that they have. I had one individual came in and said, you know, my whole family is telling me to give up on this idea because I've got too much into it and it's not gonna take off. And I just like have to say, like, yeah, they're kind of right. Like, I don't want to take your money either.
Mm-hmm. You're like a credit counselor.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah,
a life
maybe.
Coach.
Luckily, what I've noticed, and if I get anything like that now, a lot of the people here in town, with the resources we have available to entrepreneurs, whether it be through the Small Business Administration, like the SCORE mentorship, or the University Center for Entrepreneurship and places like that. So I know people there now. So if I get somebody that comes in here with a wacky idea, or maybe just somebody that hasn't quite thought through their business plan quite yet, maybe they're getting a little ahead of themselves, I'll send them their card and I'll just say, you know, hey, talk to this person because they're going to help you create a formal business plan. Make sure that you've tested the market for this idea. Is it going to be a lucrative endeavor, or is it going to be a complete disaster? Because I don't want to take those people's money. That just makes me feel bad.
Oh, that's very nice, Amy, that you do that. Well, and I believe it.
I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
Well, you believe it because we do the same thing here sometimes.
Yeah. I'm sure you do.
Yeah. And sometimes that's the best favor you can give somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. Yeah. Just an honest opinion.
Yeah. Amy, your hobbies besides work.
You know, I play a lot of tennis. I absolutely love it. I love it because it gets me active, and the facilities we have here, I can do it year-round. There's always someone counting on me to show up, so I can't just bail on them if I'm tired. No matter if I have a good day or bad day, I show up at the time that they request for my other teammates. And I just, you know, I absolutely love it. I played in high school, and a lot of the people that I play tennis with are kind of middle-aged like myself. After their kids grow up, they get a little freedom back and find that tennis is an excellent way to not only build friendships, but just to stay physically active. So it's been a really, really great time. I've been playing for about 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played in high school too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amy, can we have you back on the show sometime? And what I would like you to, you know, you and I talk off. You know, record sometimes where we're just visiting casually as friends, and I'm much older than you are, but the top 10 lists, like the Casey Kasem and the David Letterman list we've laughed about before.
Yeah.
Could you develop a top 10 list of do's and a top 10 list of don'ts for your website development sometime and come on to the show?
Oh, I'd love to.
And count them down from the least crazy to the most or the most, but a list of the maybe start with the list of don'ts.
I could think of a few things.
Yes. That would be a great countdown.
I think that sounds great.
That would be super. Will, closing question for Miss Abaca.
Well, Amy, is there anything coming up that Abaca Design is looking to expand into within the next, you know, couple years, or are you guys just looking to stay the status quo and improve on what you currently do?
Definitely the second option there. I think at this time, what we've realized is that our personal connection with the customer is really the best thing we can offer. And to think about growing into a larger or medium-sized agency really isn't anything that interests me at this point. I definitely want to, personally, my goal for 2021 is to become a master in regards to all the technology that's new. I feel like we can never learn enough when it comes to building websites faster, better. That's going to enable myself to focus more on the concept side of things versus the, oh, you know, how am I supposed to make this thing work? You know, really focusing on that technology, which I feel is important. So that's my personal goal. As far as the business goal is, I think finding more customers like yourself that really understand that it's a partnership and not just a vendor client relationship.
Yes.
Is what we really would like to focus on.
Yes, Jason.
Yeah, before we go here, we have a lot of small business listeners, and what I am curious about is what, when you have somebody who calls you up, you've got that initial meeting, you know, they've got their business, they're looking to you to maybe improve upon what they've been doing in-house so far. What do you wish more business owners knew before they started engaging with you for a business relationship? You know, what are they missing out on that they really ought to know?
Yeah, there's definitely some simple steps for anyone to start a website process, even if it's their second website or their third or their fourth, is to go online and look for inspiration for other websites that you might like and different markets similar to yours. And I always tell the Nebraskan folks to check out Kansas City, Des Moines, and Minneapolis, because those places really have great designers and also aren't, sometimes if you travel to other markets on the coast, the vibe doesn't quite feel the same as it does with the Midwestern clientele that we usually work with. And to think about your sales process and try to have your website match that feeling. So if I'm talking to an owner of a business and I can't really get them to talk about anything except for the features of their product that they're creating, say they sell widgets or whatever, and they're like, well, our widgets are nice, and we make the best widgets, and we make them the fastest. And so what I try to do is get them more into sales mode. So, yeah, that's probably true. I mean, your widgets probably are the best, but tell me a little bit about how you pitch to your, when you're sitting down one-on-one with a customer, what seals the deal? Because you can't walk in and just point out features. You've got to talk about that the emotional differences between your product and Joe's widgets up the street. So I try to put them in sales mode a little bit just to see if I can extrapolate any additional information that we could use on the website so it's not just this generic brochure thing.
Great. Amy Ebeka, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show. It's ebekadesign.com. Amy, we look forward to having you on the show again, and thanks a million. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Nebraska Economic Development Corporation. All rights reserved.